Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I pray that you had a blessed morning and a blessed day, whether you're listening in the afternoon, whenever you're listening. I know that this is a day that God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. On today, as you're coming in and making yourself right at home, grab your Bible, and we're going to have another glorious time in the Lord. Our session is going to be talking about when we pray, Matthew 6, chapter number 5, verses 15 through 15. So again, Matthew chapter number 6, verse 5 through 15. Will be our lesson text focus on today, in which we'll be talking and center our talk around today. And it reads on this line, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We want to also look at another scripture as well, Mark 11, verse number 24. It states on this line, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." The thought for today is prayer is our measuring by length, is not measured by length. Meaningful prayer takes place when the person's prayer actually touches God. And so that's going to be key, that when your prayers are actually touching God, and then God responds to your prayer. Let's take a look. We're going to be looking at over the course of the next few minutes is that we'll be focused on when we pray. Pray always. Pray when afflicted. Pray for Jerusalem. Where we pray. In secret. On the mountain. In the valley. Everywhere. Then we're going to look at why we pray. To forgive and to be forgiven. To communicate with God. To receive spiritual guidance. How do we pray? Effectually, fervently, humbly, persistently. And so we're going to look at that about. And so again, our talk today is going to be when we pray. It is impossible to place too much value on the privilege of prayer. Prayer is simply conversation with God. Yet there is nothing simple about the results of our time spent with God. It is a phenomenal connection with God of the universe, where the Creator communes with his created masterpiece, which is mankind. or humankind. It is unfortunately that many people have never discovered the blessings of prayer, and some of them are even complain that they do not know how to pray. Because of unbelief, others refuse to pray because they do not believe that God will answer their prayer. In either case, those who do not take advantage of prayer deprive themselves of the benefit of communication with God, who loves all people with everlasting love. Anyone who believes in prayer has found that God answers prayer. Although God may not answer all prayer in the way we expect, and he may not grant us all our requests or prayer petition, he does answer our prayers, whether with a no or not responding at all. It has been answered. Consequently, every believer who trusts in God's eternal wisdom will continue to pray. Daily prayer establishes and maintains a relationship with God, and our regular prayer empowers us spiritually. Now, let's take a look here. Prayer is actually a manifestation of a person's faith towards God. Now, let's take a look at the scripture that will share and contextualize this. Hebrews 11 and 6 states, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." When we pray, we exhibit faith that there is a God and that he hears and answers prayers. In this lesson today, we're going to discuss when, where, and why, and how we pray. The study of this lesson should provide us with a deeper appreciation for prayer and will increase our faith to keep praying until the answers come. Now, let's take a look at when we should pray. And first thought we're going to look at, pray always. Luke chapter number 18 and 1 states, "And he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint." Jesus' statement that individual ought to always pray correlates with Paul's directive to Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Certainly, we should never stop praying, for those who continue to pray are blessed. The statements are not intended to be interpreted literally, for the would be technically means that a person would never do anything else. God did not intend for us to pray and do nothing else. Rather, he was admonishing us never to discontinue the practice of regular and consistent prayer. If someone were to ask a fisherman if he was still fishing, he could honestly answer affirmatively, although he may have no fishing gear in his hand or even near by the water. One would not need to fish 24 hours a day to say that they're still fishing. So it is with prayer and things. Even though we're not praying in our prayer closet 24 hours a day, and it does not mean that we're not praying or have a spirit of prayer and things. We still must accomplish things. We still must do things. But God is saying stand in that spirit of prayer and not stopping when we know that we can do it ourselves, but stopping and yielding unto God and praying. Now, let's take another look here. If God does not expect us to pray 24 hours of every day, how long should we pray per day? This question bothers some people because they feel that they should pray an hour each day in order to fulfill God's implied expectation that what could you not pray, watch for 1 hour, Matthew 26 and 40. Others maintain that we should not confine ourselves to a particular amount of time to pray each day. Moreover, some individual may consider that early morning hours at the best time to pray, but the phrase at all times, as it is stated over in Ephesians 6:18, according to the Living Translation, let us know that we should continue practicing prayer at whatever time is appropriate. The choice is ours. So God is not wanting us to get so locked in and things to a ritual, but he wants us to be in a continual communion with him, because situations change, times change. Sometimes we cannot get back to that place where we used to be and things because it was for that season and for that time. But it doesn't mean to stop praying. You may have gotten up at a certain time, or maybe God will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you was praying. And when God moved you from that season of getting up at 3 o'clock and pray at that time, maybe God's moving you from that season and that time. That doesn't mean that if you can't get back to the 3 o'clock time and things for us to stop praying, but it's saying that in being in that continual mindset to be engaged in prayer. Now, let's look at another point. Prayer when afflicted. James 5 and 13 states, is any man among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. The instruction of James regarding prayer in his epistle is simple and to the point. When we are afflicted, we should pray. The word afflicted comes from a Greek word meaning hardship, trouble. When things are difficult, we have problems, we should exercise prayer. No one should have to instruct us to do the obvious, but we often respond like the individual who failed to hit the emergency switch when confronted with a crisis. The switch is there, and when we have knowledge of what we should do, but when we under duress and often fail to react logically. And so what it's basically saying here is that when emergency is taken place or crisis, that's when we should hit the emergency button, which is prayer and crying out to God and things. And even so, I love how God fixed this so that even when we're in a crisis, child of God, and we can't pray, God have already fixed it. And one of the things that I love about God, he fixed it that he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. It means that when we're in a situation that we cannot even get to prayer or cry out to God, our infirmities, our feelings, and the infirmities of what we're going through is touching God. It's going directly to heaven and touching God. And that's so powerful. The miracle of God's grace is that he has made provision for our help in the time of need. He could have left us without privilege of prayer, and we should have no recourse when in the midst of hardship and trouble. But thankfully, he has given us the gift of prayer. Affliction is not necessarily punishment from God or an attack of Satan, but it is something that visits all of us. Affliction often is the result of living in a world of conflict and change. The preacher declared, time and chance happens to us all, Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. Job proclaimed, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, Job 14 and 1. It is not the reality of affliction that should concern us, but our response to it. We have no control over how much or what we suffer, but we can control our response towards suffering. And I think that that is so key for us. How are we responding to that change? How are we responding to that affliction? How are we responding to that? James 5:13 directs, prayer is the proper response to affliction. We often wait until things have escalated before praying, but we should promptly take a matter of affliction to the Lord before the matters worsen. So here, when things begin at their onset, we need to say, God, we need you right now. and not waiting to in the middle of the crisis and then cry out. But God wants us to, at the beginning, to begin to acknowledge him, even in the midst of that, before that crisis gets blown out of proportion. Say, God, we need you. Move right now, Lord. Come, glory, glory. Move in a powerful way. People who are suffering from affliction often call their pastor to pray for them. Although it is good and acceptable for the pastor to offer his prayer on behalf of his afflicted parishioner, we should note that the verse plainly indicates that the afflicted should do the praying. The six are to call for the elders of the church to anoint and pray for them, James 5:14. But the afflicted are to pray themselves. A caring pastor does not mind praying for the afflicted, but some troubled people consistently want others to pray for them instead of them praying. And when the Bible admonishes that those that are afflicted, let them pray, because in that prayer, it is establishing a relationship. It's drawing them closer to God and depending upon God. And so when people come to us and things, we need to learn how to start training them to pray, teaching them how to go back and pray and things. You go back and pray. God said the afflicted, let the afflicted pray. I'll pray with you. Let's pray together so that we can teach and train people how to pray and allow them to begin to come into this privileged place as well that God has given to all to come and to pray and call on the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at another point. Pray for Jerusalem. Psalms 122:6 states, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. It is no secret to students of the Bible that God loves Jerusalem and the land of Israel. See Deuteronomy 11:11-12. When we pray, we usually ask God for something that would benefit us or our loved ones. We do have needs, and we should not be timid about expressing them to God. However, we also should pray for Jerusalem because its needs are important to God, and it is the focal point to the end time prophecy. And so we as children of God, we must remember to pray for Israel and pray for Jerusalem. That is a mandate that God has left and a command that God has left for us as well. And not be timid about giving and sharing our needs as well. Sometimes we don't share our needs, all of our needs to God. Sometimes we don't come and cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. There's needs that and cares that you're carrying right now in your spirit, right now in your mind and your heart that you have not cast upon God. And God said, come cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you. Even that little bitty thing that seemed like a little matter, God said, cast that upon me. And things because I care for you. And so let's take a look. It said, for many years, teachers of the Bible prophesied have concerned Israel to be a fig tree that we are to watch as God's time clock of the end time. And we can see that over in Matthew 24:32-34. For this reason, we need to watch Jerusalem and Israel and pray for them. The prophet Joel declared, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my hand. Joel 3:2. Since the world will be representative there when God began to fight for and redeem Israel, it's important that we pray for God's will to be done in everything leading up to those great events. So let us remember to pray for Israel. Now let's look at another point. Where should we pray? And we talked about it. We're going to look at several places. Where should we pray? It is interesting that most of us have favorite places to pray. Some like to pray at the spot where they have received the Holy Ghost, while others like to pray in public places. However, most people enjoy finding a place away from others where they can talk to God privately. Some people feel more comfortable praying while standing or walking, while others feel that they should be kneeling. Some even like to lie prostrate on the floor, while others enjoy praying while sitting in a chair. The fact is, the physical positioning is not nearly as important as the spiritual positioning. Now, I'll pray that you got that. It's the spiritual posture that is more important and that is imminent. Not so much the physical positioning, but the spiritual positioning. Once again, we should remember that God looks on the heart rather than the position of the body. So it's not so much where your body and how it is positioned, but is your heart clean? Are you walking upright? No guile is in your mouth. Are you living holy and righteous? The spiritual position is key. Are we back and not backbiting and stabbing each other in the fifth rib and putting a dagger in somebody's back? What is the posture? And that's key. The important thing is that we should pray wherever we can connect with God. If privacy enhances our prayer life, we should certainly pray privately. If what praying under our breath in the crowd, shopping in the mall is effective, we should do it. The important thing is that we establish a relationship with God through regular and consistent prayer. And that's the key, regular and consistent prayer. In secret, let's take a look. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:6. If God is not overly concerned with our physical position or the place of prayer, why would Jesus tell his disciples to pray in their closet? With this statement, he countered the Pharisee vain display of self-righteousness. That's all he was doing. Standing in public places, they prayed to attract attention to themselves. So on the other hand, overemphasis of being secretive with praying, giving, and service to the Lord often indicate a spiritual problem as well. There are often those, for example, who do not tithe or who give few offerings. So they hide behind Jesus' instruction. But when thou doest alms, let that not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Matthew 6:3. Again, Jesus was offering the righteous alternative to the Pharisee practice of blowing the trumpet when they gave. See Matthew 6:2. And so that gives us understanding about the closet. Because God was not so interested, Jesus was wanting to overthrow what the Pharisees was doing, coming out in public places and praying and making an open display. And so he was addressing that, you know, to go to the closet and pray in the closet. We don't have to make an open show, but yes, pray publicly too. But we don't have to make an open show of what God is doing in our prayer life as well, but we should pray. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and was praying and you find yourself there, it was nothing but competition that was going on in the prayer meeting. One was trying to outpray somebody else and another one was trying to outpray this one, and here you just have a whole big competition going on in the prayer room, and God is not into that. And thing, if God's leading the prayer person, the leader to pray, let the leader pray. And we get behind them or begin to pray as well with them in this one accord and one mind, one spirit coming together. Jesus was not condemning that public prayer or public giving, for he prayed publicly many times. With people gathered at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus prayed aloud in the public. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so here Jesus would begin to qualify what he was doing. He wasn't praying publicly because he wanted to be seen. He was praying publicly, and he stated it over here in John 11, verse 41 and 42. He said, I'm praying publicly because it's for the people to believe that you have sent me. And so sometimes as men and women of God, we pray like that because for the people, that they may know that this was of God. Oh, yes. I just felt the power of God right there. Oh, it's good. And when you're talking about God, it's just something about prayer. I'm a prayer warrior myself, and just something when you're talking about being engaged in prayer, it's just the dunamis power begin releasing unto the people of God. On the mountain, we understand the phase on the mountain to be one that indicated being successful or feeling good or being in that special place that God has just taken us to, this special place and things in him. When we talk about referencing being on the mountain top or being on top of things. An opposite thought or expression is that in the valley, and that's a condition where one feels defeated or weak. We are to pray not only when things are going well and we are in trouble, but when also everything is going great. Often people tend to forget God when things are going well because they relate to him primarily on a need basis, just because they have a need. We should remember, however, that God has no valley or mountaintop experience. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See Hebrews 13 and 8. As human beings, we are the ones who have the ups and down experiences in our lives. We need to learn to relate to God in all aspects of our lives, in both good times and bad. If we have an effective and consistent prayer life on the mountain, we should pray more effectively even in the valley. Faithful prayer during the good times deposit money in heaven's bank that we can spend when we have great needs. Mountain prayers and praise make for effective valley praying. And I remember when I was growing up in Zion and things, that when I've gotten saved, and even hearing my grandmother used to say a lot of times that lay up your timbers, lay up your prayers now while you can, because there's going to come a time when you can. And it's key for us as children of God to lay up our prayers and things while we can and while we have an opportunity to do that. Now let's take another look in the valley. The valley represent times when things are not going the way we want them to go, and we find ourselves in trouble. It is interesting that people pray the most when they are in the valley. Problems and needs create a more critical climate that seems to precipitate prayer. Perhaps it is the only natural for us, like children, not to cry out to the Lord until there is trouble. Some people refuse to pray when they are even in the valley, feeling that if they did not pray on the mountain when everything was going well, that they have no right to pray in the valley. However, God does not ignore tardy prayers, nor does he close his ears to some prayers and open his ears to other prayer. He always is ready to hear and respond to our prayer. Now, let's look at, as we move expeditiously forward here, because I want to be able to get this, it's some good stuff. Everywhere, we must pray everywhere. Contrary to what some people think about having to pray only in church or in a shrine or in other places, we are to pray everywhere. Everywhere means wherever we are. God does not care where we are when we pray. He just wants to hear from us. In the Old Testament, prayer was offered at the temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he asked God to hear the prayers that were directed towards Jerusalem and the temple. And we can look over in 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 45 through 47 through verse 49, and you can see that. In the church era, We understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we do not have to go to the temple or to the church to pray. See 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. We can talk to the Lord anywhere, at any time, and he will hear. Being able to pray silently is an advantage, and for this enable us to pray anywhere. It is good to pray aloud, but silence or whisper prayer is just as effective. The key is communication with God. We can pray silently in the crowd's room or a crowded room or loudly in a closet or closed automobile. He hears all of it. He hears and he knows. And so it behooves us to pray. Just pray. And I believe, and God's been telling me over the last couple of showings and our airing, God began to tell me, to Helen, tell my people they got to get back to prayer. Communicating and talking with God is essential for us. Even after we find ourselves on the mountaintop and seeing God blessing us, God still wants us to pray without ceasing. Now let's take a look here. Why we pray. We pray to forgive and to be forgiven. And many times we look at the fact that we have a need. And a lot of times we pray because we have a need. And many times we don't pray because we need to forgive. So let's take a look at that because that is relevant for us today. And we can contextualize that into our lives because there are a lot of church hurts. There's a lot of people walking around hurt in the church. And because they're not engaging in prayer, the practice of prayer, of forgiving. And that's key for us as children of God. Among the many reasons for our praying to forgive and to be forgiven are perhaps the most significant, because basic human nature is selfish. Perhaps our prayer always should begin with our receiving forgiveness. What an opportunity and a privilege we have in going to God in prayer and receiving forgiveness for our sins. Through prayer, we can receive something that no amount of money could purchase, no degree of power could force, no measure of influence could persuade. Following are some encouraging scriptures concerning obtaining forgiveness. Now, and let's take a look at that, because that's something that we as a church, as a nation, as people, we need to go back and be really engaged in that. We can have healthy churches. We can have healthy relationships, healthy families, if we take the moment just to forgive. Now, let's look here. John 6 and 37 say, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Again, we're talking about scripture concerning obtaining forgiveness. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 9. Another scripture, Isaiah 1 and 18 states, "Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1 and 18. Psalms 103 and 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgression from us." Psalms 103 and 12. Unless we receive forgiveness, we generally are not that interested in forgiving others. A truly forgiven person is more inclined to forgive others, for he is more aware of the benefit of forgiveness. However, those two are so intertwined that it is almost impossible to separate. Perhaps this is why Jesus always linked them together in his teaching. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any other, and that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Mark 11, verses 25 to verse 26. And you can also see Matthew 6 and 13, Matthew's 14 and 15, verses Matthew 18, verse 35. these are scriptures that is admonishing us. Even in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul admonished us, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Certainly we should pray both to receive forgiveness and to forgive others. And that's so key, children of God, that we need to, we got to. It is so admonishing us that we have to forgive those that have transgressed against us and spoken all manner of evil, especially when you're dealing in ministry, especially if you are a woman of God, because we're more relational. And it's key for us to keep a forgiving heart, because if not, the enemy will get an advantage over that. And we'll keep stuffing that down in our spirit and not really dealing with it and coming up front and just forgiving and allowing that to be let go. It's key. It's vital. It's vital for us to do it. And things, in order for us to be effective in ministry, you're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be lied on. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be persecuted. And those things don't feel good, especially from a woman's standpoint, because we're more relational and things. And so coming from that standpoint, the enemy uses that to fight against the women in ministry. So you've got to take care of yourself. Let's look to communicate with God. Is another reason why we pray. Communication is a necessary element of relationship. For if we love someone, we will desire to communicate with that person. This is the true whether the relationship involves our mate, our family, our associates, or our friends. But it is especially true if the relationship involves God. We cannot maintain a relationship without communicating with him and with God, or even with others, but most of all with God. And prayer is the means of that communication. We could have created, God could have created us without the ability to communicate with him. After all, many part of his creation, animals, plants, rocks, the earth, are unable to communicate with them. Of all his earthly creation, mankind is the only one with the innate ability. What a privilege we have in prayer. He also enables us to communicate with him on a level much higher than our natural language. The Apostle Paul declared, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. 1 Corinthians 14:2. When we pray in tongues, we are communicating with God. In his letter to the Romans, Paul further explained the value of praying in tongues or in the spirit. Likewise, here it is, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. We must recognize that with groan, that word cannot express. It's words that cannot be expressed. And have you been in a place where you just cannot express it? But in your spirit, it was just groaning. Well, those groans go up to God. And that's a language that's going unto God. It's that Paul further explained, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:14. There is no joy like the joy of communicating with God on a spiritual level. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost, so that we can communicate with God on a spiritual level, not just the earthly plane, but on a spiritual level. Now let's look at another point as to why we pray, to receive spiritual guidance. Jeremiah 10:23 states, O Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his path or direct his step. Because we do not have the ability to direct our step, we go to God for spiritual guidance. The psalmist proclaimed, the step of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Psalm 37:23. It is in prayer that we seek and receive spiritual guidance from him. We find scriptural evidence where men of God sought spiritual guidance through prayer. Luke recorded such action in the early church. See Acts 13:2-3. Before Ezra returned to Jerusalem with the silver and gold that King Artaxerxes had donated, he declared, "Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ava, that we might afflict ourselves before God to seek of him a right way for us, for our little ones, and for our inheritance." Ezra 8:21. And indeed, we as children of God need to go back and to proclaim fasts and fast for our young people and our children, just like Ezra 8:21 stated. They proclaimed the fast for the little ones. And we as children of God, we need to not be terrified by what's happening to our young people and talking, spend time talking about what's going on with our young people, but we need to be fasting and praying for them, just like the scripture admonished us in Ezra 8:21 to pray for them, to fast for them. Indeed, men of God have always sought the Lord for spiritual guidance, and we must too as well. How to pray is the next thing. Effectually, James 5:16, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The two adjectives describe prayers in James 5:16 is effectual and fervent. The word effectual translates from the Greek word engio, which is related to an English word meaning energy. The Greek word means to work or to be active. Therefore, an effectual prayer is to be prayed that will work, or the prayer is working. Often when we pray, we feel ineffective. However, we should hold to faith that our prayers are working. Faith mixed with our prayers will produce effective prayer, establishing much. Our prayers also should be fervent. So here, when we look at the effective prayer, it means it's praying with that energy, praying with that power, praying with that anointing, praying with that strength and the power from heaven. And for it to be effective, we must couple it with our prayer. Even when you feel as though it's being ineffective and is not moving or going forward, you must couple it with faith and believe that God is hearing your prayers. Now, let's look here. Fervently, the second adjective that described prayer was the fervent prayer. How interesting when we find that this word translates from the Greek word as effective, as well as indio, to translate apparently that the only way to express the meaning of the original word would be to use two words that would indicate the release of God's power through prayer. And that's what, when we pray, it is the releasing of God's power through prayer. Another word in the sentence availeth means to have or to exercise force, which would mean that our effective, active prayer are working with force to accomplish that which we have faith to believe God to do. And so when you pray, we're releasing God through prayer, God's power over the young people in their life, over our family. That's why we pray for even our unsaved loved ones and those that are in darkness, the backslider and things. We don't cast them off, but we release the power of God through prayer on their life. And that's what we need to do as never before, release the power of God. Amen. Let's look at how we pray. We pray humbly. although the Bible does not contain many examples of haughty prayers as it does of humble prayer, we find the classic wrong example of praying in the book of Luke. You can see that over in Luke 18, 9 through 14. Jesus told the story of two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee who thanked God that he was not like other people who were sinners, and that he reminded God of his regular fasting and praying. Jesus then contrasted the self-righteous prayer of the Pharisee by telling of the publican nearby who would not even lift up his eyes to heaven while smitten his breath, saying, breath. Saying, God, have be merciful to me, a sinner. The master then declared, I tell you, this man went down to his house more justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Luke 18 and 14. Jesus also warned against praying like the hypocrite who loved to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men, Matthew 6 and 5. He further cautioned against using vain repetition like the hypocrites who think that they shall be heard of their much speaking, Matthew 6 and 7. Heeding these warnings, we should strive to reject display of self-righteousness in prayer and come to him just as we are, just as we are. Now, let's look at the next point of how we should pray. And this is our final point of how we should pray persistently. Through the narrative of the unjust judge, Jesus taught us to be persistent in prayer. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, he introduced the story with the statement, men ought to always pray and not faint. Luke 18 and 1. He told how a preoccupied judge kept ignoring a persistent widow who continued coming to him asking that he avenge her of an adversary. The judge finally acquiesced her and met her need because she would not give up. Jesus taught another lesson that encouraged persistence, the parable of the importune person or friend, Luke 11, verse 5 through 10. Two friends lived as neighbors. One of them had company, needing bread at midnight. He went to his friend's house to borrow three loaves. The needy neighbor refused to take no for an answer, even though the friends and said that his house was already down for the evening. Jesus pointed out that the friend would not give him bread at midnight based on their friendship, but he would meet the need because of his friend's opportunity. Jesus then applied that truth. Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given. Seek and keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. Luke 11, verse 9, and this comes from the Amplified Bible. Certainly, child of God, Jesus meant for us to be persistent in our prayers. And that's so key for us as children of God to be persistent in our prayer and pray as never before. We must pray for Jerusalem. We must pray when we are afflicted. We must pray always. And then we almost must pray and ask God for forgiveness, the prayer of forgiveness and things. We must also pray in secret, pray on the mountaintop. We must pray in the valley and pray everywhere. And not only that, we must pray. The reason we pray is for forgiveness and to forgive others and to communicate with God for spiritual guidance. And many times we, as I stated earlier, we many times we pray because of affliction or a need. But we never a lot of time just pray just to be in communion just with God, just communing with God, not asking God anything. We were reminded of the scripture where it let us know that Anna, who visited the temple daily. She went because she ministered unto God. She didn't go asking God, but she went because she wanted to minister to God in her fasting. She wasn't fasting because there was a need or that something, a yoke was had to be broken or destroyed, but she was fasting as a way to minister unto God. And so we as children of God, we should sometimes just go to God and just minister unto God through fasting. God, I'm fasting not because I need anything, but I want to minister to you. La 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 bo. I come praying, Lord, because I'm come praying, not because there is a need. I have a need, but I come because I just want to be in fellowship with you, in relationship with you. Ah, oh, come on, child of God. I can feel the anointing power of God is relevant, and we must contextualize it to our own lives, children of God, and cultivate. That's where God, that's the spiritual positioning ourselves, keeping a clean heart and mind before God so that we can enter into that holy place with God. Then also we need to pray so that we to forgive and to be forgiven. And things, these things go hand in hand. And we need to be engaged in forgiveness and that prayer of forgiveness, forgiving those that talked about us. And then forgive those, ask forgiveness of those that you may have talked about or you may have done or and maybe not intentionally but offended. We need to remember that's healthy for us, for the body. And then also to receive spiritual guidance. So it is so relevant for us, children of God, to look deeper into this privilege that God has given unto us, because God created all things, but he created us for his workmanship, to show forth his praise and to come and communicate with him and to love him through prayer. Love him through prayer. Oh, I just feel the anointing power of God. Love him through prayers. And things through our prayers, love God through our prayers and things. And sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on spiritual warfare, and I'm a spiritual warfare. I'm a spiritual warrior, general and things, a commander in the kingdom of God. But you know, when I love God through prayer, I mean, there's a balance too. We'll teach on that soon. Often, too often, we measure prayer by the quantity rather than the quality. Although lengthy prayers could benefit the one who is praying, the Lord commended a long prayer simply for the sake of their being lengthy. In this reason, this session, we have discovered the value of communicating in the way that impressed God instead of mankind. Although others may be listening to our prayers, God hears our hearts and our motive. And I think that is the key piece rather than our voices. He hears those things, and that's key. We should pray always and never quit. Not only should we pray in secret and on the mountaintop or in the valley, but we should always, everywhere, regardless of what's going on in our life. Moreover, prayer is our communication or conversation with God. Among many things, it can be about forgiving and receiving forgiveness as well as attaining spiritual guidance. Lastly, but not least, as we pray effectively, fervently, humbly, and persistently, we may become the prayer warriors that our nation so desperately needs. May we become the intercessors that the church cannot do without. Furthermore, may we discover the hidden treasure of heaven through prayers. Amen. And that's where we uncover the treasures of God is through, done in and through prayer. And now, child of God, I pray that you have been blessed, and I pray that you have been strengthened through this particular session and that God has undergirded you and fortified you in a mighty and a special way. I pray that you will always engage in prayer, and I pray that this was relevant for you, giving you greater enlightenment and understanding about God and the things of God. I pray that you will be greatly blessed as never before, child of God, and things to do the work and the will of God as never before. And we're going to get ready to pray. And whatever you have need of, I want you just to put it before God. But most of all, we're going to go to God in a new way and just say, God, we just thank you for who you are. Gracious God, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that is in the Holy Ghost. We come lifting your name up, giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise that is so graciously due unto your name. We come with thanksgiving. We come, Lord, with not prayer requests today, but we come in the spirit of gratitude, of being able to communicate with you and being able to come boldly into your throne room, oh God, that we may obtain grace and mercy and hell in the time of trouble. Lord, we come, Lord, saying you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the lily of the valley. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, oh, Lord. We praise you because you are the righteous God. We praise you because you are, Lord, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Oh, God, we praise you because you are the great I am, Lord. And we come to worship you in prayer today. Day and give you the glory and give you the honor that's due unto your holy name. Gracious is our God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Father, we praise your name, O God, on most high. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you, O God, for a shelter over our head, a house to lay our head down, bed to lay down in, O God, food on our tables, dear God. We thank you, dear God, for being awesome in our life. Oh, shalala. We thank you, Lord, for making ways out of no way. We thank you for being the great I am, oh God. We thank you, dear God, for, Lord, being our strong tower, being our righteous God. We thank you, dear God, because you are a holy God, a righteous God, Lord, a just God. And we praise your blessed name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise that's due unto your blessed name. Unto thee, O Lord, do we give you praise. Unto thee, O Lord, do we lift up our voices and praise thee. Unto thee, O Lord, do we lift our hands, even where we at, and lift our voice, O God. Father, I pray that you stir every prayer warrior. I pray that you stir every individual with prayer, with a love for prayer, oh God, of just communicating, dear God. I pray, oh God, and decree, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, forgiveness of prayers of forgiveness and to be forgiven, Lord, in the life of your people, Lord. I pray that your people will continue to pray for spiritual guidance every day, Lord. And Lord, when they're on the mountaintop, that they would engage in prayer unto thee, O God. And Lord, when they're in the valley and being afflicted, that they will pray unto you, O God. Father, Lord, when they're coming in and going out, Lord, that they will pray and cry out unto you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we lift our hands and say, thank you, dear God, and say that you are the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. We will love you through our prayers. And Lord, Israel, Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace of Israel. We pray your sovereign will to be done and accomplished, Lord. Let your will, let it be done. Let your will be done, O God, and we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, Lord, I feel your presence, dear God. Bless, Lord, everyone that is listening. Let them feel this same anointing, dear God, that you're exuding. Let it exude through the airway. I blow it out to the airway. I blow the anointing, Lord. Let it just flow, Lord. Blow your wind of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let the rushing mighty wind go through the nations, Lord. Let it flow out, oh God, throughout the universe, dear God. In thy name, Lord. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name, dear God. We praise you, dear God. Through the four corners of this earth, Lord, let yourself be great and flow throughout, Lord. And we thank you. We give you honor, Lord. We give you praise to the glory of our Father. Gracious Father, we just thank God for what God has done and what he's doing. I just feel a sweet, sweet spirit that's in this place and just hovering over the people that are listening right now. Just enter into that place with God. We're going to close. We're getting ready to close out. But God, there's a special anointing that has been on these sessions all week long. The dunamis power of God just been flowing out throughout the land. And I want to say in my closing, as always, if you don't have it, God got it. And you just want prayer away, go back and ask. If you need a miracle, ask God to do the impossible for you. He's able. The scriptures say, according to the Amplified Bible, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened unto you. Luke chapter number 11, verse number 9, coming from the Amplified Bible. God wants you to know that he's able and willing, but he want to hear your voice and hear your heart and your motive coming up unto God. It's not so much as our voice in things, but it's our heart and our motive is more important to God than anything else. And that's why we must keep a spirit of forgiveness in our heart, because we don't want our heart to become tainted by the vicissitudes of life and the things, the offenses of man. But we want to keep a clean heart before the Lord our God, and God will do it. Father, we thank you for those that have joined us on today. I pray a special blessing over their lives, that, Lord, that anointing power that was released throughout the airway will go to their house and go to their ministry and go to their spirit, Lord. Even right now, that it will birth forth. Let it spring forth. You said for us not to remember the former things and things, because behold, you do a new thing and it shall spring forth. Lord, let it spring forth. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, my child. I may that pray that you are blessed in the Lord our God. And again, rejoice. The Bible said, and again, I say, rejoice. Until we meet again. May you have a blessed day is my prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.